Blog Talk Radio.
With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. This is your host, John Nasheed, New Mind Development Project, focusing on issues of concern. And once again, we thank you for being with us in this second topic, the second subject of the type topic, which is the history of Al-Islam in Westchester County, New York, from the Nation of Islam to Al-Islam proper. And when we say Al-Islam proper, we're talking about universal Islam, Islam for Muslims all over the world, followed by the Quran, the Book of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, his word, and also our dear Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And, this is very important because clarity today is very important. One thing we have to understand that years ago, back in the 80s, Islam was newly in America, the Nation of Islam, and then through Islam proper, Imam Wahdi Muhammad, there was much confusion, quite naturally, between the Nation of Islam and Al-Islam. There was also much confusion about Islam proper for many Americans because of the publicity, the media, etc. They saw Islam as a terrorist organization or a terrorist. So it became our responsibility to clarify it. And this is many years later, but nonetheless, we're going back in the history to show how the establishment of Islam in Westchester County, the county that I was born in and many others were born in, and how we established the religion in the county in the year of, what, maybe going back to 1960s or 69, all the way up to present. And I think it's very important that we take the time to do this because it is important. Al-Islam is not, as I mentioned, Islam proper. It was designed by an individual by the name of Farah Muhammad, an immigrant Muslim to this country, and I guess he felt that he was helping to get the African Americans cleaned up from the old structure that we were under, Christianity and slavery, etc. Actually, the African American people were turned inside out, emptied out, I should say, from who they were in Africa, coming to America, and transformed into almost a vegetable. Individuals who were working for the interest of someone else and had no interest in working for their own self because of the mentality that was given to us during that slave period. So we have to understand these things, and we have to teach our children. Most importantly, we have to teach our children. And, you know, the vessel, you know, Paul Imam Wahdi Muhammad mentioned it. He said that the Nation of Islam emptied out the vessel of those old slave influence, those slavery ghosts, and it emptied out the vessel so he can pour truth into the vessel, meaning Muslims that came under his leadership in 1975, Al-Islam as the state proper. This is the way of Allah, the one and only God, Allah. His word is the Quran, and the following of his model prophet, Muhammad. He followed the model prophet, Muhammad, because Prophet Muhammad lived the religion of Al-Islam. Very, very important. Okay, now getting back to the Nation of Islam, when the change came in 1975, Imam Wahdi Muhammad, Abdullah Muhammad had passed away, Imam Wahdi Muhammad had taken over the leadership, and then at that time we were in Mount Vernon, in the Nation of Islam. We just had moved to a new building, a bigger space. We were putting up walls and decorating the place. meeting, so the change came about. So we made the change when the change came about. We were FOI, we were trained to take orders. So we got a carpet, we put it on the floor, and we tried to learn the religion. We had some immigrant people come in to try to teach us, and then later on the exam told us don't allow them to come in because they're not teaching us only their religion. They're teaching us their culture. We didn't want their culture. We wanted to establish our own self as African-American people. Remember, we're building ourselves up from the ground up. And if anybody, other influences come into our lives, it's going to take us off course. So he was correct. He was right and correct. And then later on, once we get ourselves together as a people, then we can invite anybody in because they won't be an influence over our lives. And then Imam Wazi Muhammad has mentioned that we should take the smaller groups should go with the bigger groups. One of the bigger groups was the Bronx, New York, so we moved to the Bronx. And when we went to Woodycrest Avenue in the Bronx, we were orientated into Islam. We had classes to teach us about the Quran, teach us about Prophet Muhammad, and many different events that he went through with his people, the struggles that he went to establish over 1,400 years ago. They had a Juma prayer service programs, khutbahs, talims, and just continuous teaching. Many different things were going on at Woodycrest. And then I recall also that Imam Haq, who was the leader of that community there, he had asked me to give a khutbah in the class. I was doing pretty good in the class. And then he asked me to give the khutbah. So you can imagine the kind of, or maybe you can't, but I wasn't a public speaker. Actually, when he asked me, the kind of fear came over me. He gave me enough time to prepare for the khutbah. So that day finally came around. I gave it the longest distance that I could possibly give. Finally, the day came along. I gave my khutbah. Then after I completed, after the Juma prayer was over, I went and asked him, how did I do? He shook his head in disapproval. He wasn't harsh. He just let me know that it wasn't good. So then he also gave me another date just to show me that there was something in me he felt that I had to work out. Hard trials are necessary to establish truth. And then we went on and on. I stayed with the community for a good while. I was in the glass business, and there's a lot of work to be done in the building. And me and my sons, we put glass. Actually, we put the glass in the whole building, all the two buildings we have, gymnasium and also the main building. All of the broken glass in that building, we were responsible for repairing, and a lot of good work, a lot of sacrifices. But when you love something, you do it vis-a-vis the law for the pleasure of God and God alone. So remember, we're growing right now into Islam proper as a community, and this community is going to come back to Westchester County and establish the deen or the religion in Westchester County, so we can have the practice of Islam and the dawah or propagating and inviting people to the way. And right now we need it because we know right now we have serious drug problems. We have identification problems. A man identifying with another man and a woman identifying with another woman. These things are contrary to God's way in any religion. So we had an opportunity to perform a duty that was pleasing to God, Allah. So soon, I left the Bronx, and I came back to Westchester with my partner, Yusuf El-Amin, and I mentioned to him starting a dawah team in New Rochelle, New York. And that was the date, I guess it was in the 80s. Yeah, first 1979, 1980, Brother Yusuf had mentioned to me that we could use his family house in the basement. We began to send out messages, trying to contact some of the old people that was in our community in the Nation of Islam to come out and join our Dawah team so we can develop a place of worship and a place to do missionary work. And quite a few brothers came out. As a matter of fact, one of our first sister to come out was Sister Ghania. She's since passed away. She's an older sister, feisty sister. She got kept us in order, and we began to meet after Yusuf's basement in the Nourish Your Boys Club. They allowed us to have our meetings just as we was having them in the boys club, in the basement in the boys club. And we had a room and we had privacy. We even collected money for both projects that we were doing. Charity, we called it a sadaqa, which is charity. And we began to function as a unit. And in that community, a small little community that we had at that time, I recall Imam Abdul Haq had mentioned to Brother Yusuf that we have a imam up in the area. And he said, no, we didn't have an imam. So he had said to him that we need to select somebody as our imam. And so Yusuf brought that information back to us in the community, and then we put up the opportunity for people to vote for who they desired to be imam. Some people put their names in. I was sort of functioning as a leader because I did have some knowledge. I was a former lieutenant, and I did have some knowledge from the training in the Bronx. But I didn't push myself. I didn't try to get to the front to be the leader over the community or anything of that nature. I just let nature take its course, so to speak. Some people put their names in, and the final vote, they voted for me. So I wasn't an imam who selected myself to be the leader. And we can go back and look at the documents and talk to people. If we find the Nourish Your Boys Club around the 1980s, in that area, I was selected by the community, and that's the proper. That was the proper way to go about conducting Islamic business, right? We just don't allow people to come up and just because they know how to recite the Al-Fatiha and the Quran or some verses, etc., and we just put them in office. No, that's not the way it's run. It's run by Shura. You take Shura. Once we conduct a shura or a consultation, then we come up with what is best for us at that particular time. That's not a lifetime position, but nonetheless, when we decide that we're tired of that individual as a community, then we also have the right to vote him out of office. Keep that in mind. It's very important because some of these imams have been in leadership for a long, long time, and they have dominated the community. Not all. Some we have very beautiful imams, and they dominate the community, and then they become more of a pastor over a church than an imam over a masjid. God might not be the best known. So we did a lot of beautiful things there in New Rochelle, Boys Club, and Allah blessed us. We had Eid celebrations. We did projects with the people in the community, field days for the children, a lot of things. Allah really blessed us early on. That's that early new energy that we had, fired up. And keep in mind, we were already, at least myself, I was already in the community and Nation of Islam for 10 years. And I still had fire and energy to continue on with a new idea that I had nothing, I had no knowledge, I had no understanding. I just had faith in our leader, Imam Warazi Muhammad, that Allah was God, the one and only, and Prophet Muhammad was his prophet, Allah's messenger. Our prophet, Allah, his messenger, Allah's messenger and servant. Alhamdulillah. And then we kept moving on. We went out into the community, 95 Lincoln Avenue Community Action Center. They allowed us also to use their places for different events. We had concerts, we had lectures, and all of these different kinds of things. And keep in mind, we always paid our way. We didn't have much money, but is a dignified individual who would pay his way, opposed to just trying to get over on people. People have more respect for us. They respected us. Matter of fact, they still respect us. Everybody that we know in the, that we passed in the community of Nurse Hill have great respect for the establishment of Islam in that area. No disrespect. And then Allah blessed us also as we began to learn more. We wanted to do more. We wanted to be right. We wanted to develop proper. So we began to look for a place to hold Juma prayer. And we found a club, and they allowed us to come in, an Elks Club, same Lincoln Avenue. And we began to perform our Juma prayers on Friday. And so there was another immigrant Muslim community that was just getting started also. And today they are in Mount Vernon on Brookdale Street or Brookside Street. They're at Mount Vernon on the other, on the north side of town, I think it is. And some of their members were meeting with us, and we would share. They had more knowledge than us, quite naturally. But we had a message that we were trying to deliver to African-American people because, first of all, we had an identity problem, very serious identity problem. And we wanted to correct that. And then we go on, because once we start learning Arabic, we see the kind of dress that the Arabs wear, the long dresses and sandals and things of that nature. Person with an identity problem, he began to look like them. But we didn't want to look like them. Imam Wahdi Muhammad was teaching us to look like who we were and then build on it. And quite not to God, just no. So we stayed there for a while. And eventually, we had a place that, you know, we began to smell alcohol in the building. Very serious. Actually, we smelled it when we first came in there, but we weren't on that side. But we figured that if alcohol was in the building and the word of God was in the building, we were doing the wrong thing. So we started to look. We couldn't find anything in Rochelle. My daughter was working in Mount Vernon, and she told me about the store that her employer had for rent. I went and I checked it out, and I saw that this place was really sufficient for us. I went in, gave him a price. The price was acceptable. And I didn't tell the community. Then I came back and let the community know. And we went down and we looked at the place. And this was on 16 South 2nd Avenue. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about the history and establishment of Islam in Westchester County. This was our first building that we didn't own it, but we rented it, we decorated it, we put a new carpet in, we had a place to do the Juma. Juma was always packed. It wasn't quite a big place, but nonetheless, it was always packed. We established the Talim on Sunday, which is teaching and education, and we also established a weekend school. Now, all of this is following the leadership of Imam Wahdi Muhammad in a few short years. And then later, Allah blessed us to come into another development. Right next door, we came on the second floor. We heard that there was an area that was bigger than the area we had, and we had an opportunity to get that. I think it was like maybe two rooms of the office space. Very beautiful space. And we soon grew out of that space. And while we were there, I had gotten a letter from inmates at the Westchester County Department of Correction Jail. They were requesting that I pay them a visit. If some of the people knew that we were now finding them. Somebody to come in because they had Christian religion, they had a Jewish religion, and they had no Islamic leaders. But they had Muslims in the jail because many of these inmates were state inmates that came back to their sister's family for trial or whatever the case. And many of them knew something about the religion, and they wanted me, an imam, to found my name. They wanted me to come and visit. And that's another subject that we're going to be talking about next week on part three. This is part three, the history of Al-Islam in Westchester County, New York, part three. And it's going to entail Westchester County, the establishment of Islam in Westchester County, and also the establishment in the Human Rights Commission. Actually, I was invited to sit on the, as a commission on human rights as a Muslim. They didn't just invite me as a John Nasheed. They invited me as a Muslim. They felt they needed a Muslim's opinion or whatever the case. So why am I saying this? I'm trying to big up myself. No, I'm not trying to big up myself. I'm trying to show us that how we established, you know, just like in the life of Prophet Muhammad, all about his whole life, the personal life he had, his friends that he had, the business missions and different things that he had to go through. All of this was establishing first a foundation for growth. So we don't want to, we belong to Islam as in the universal idea, but we also belong to Muslims in the United States of America. We belong to Muslims in the city of New York. But that's not our history. Their history is not our history as far as the establishment is concerned. So we want to tell about the establishment. Very, very important. And if we don't know where we came from, then we don't know where we're going. So we had a very, very powerful group of people that worked diligently to establish this religion of Islam. It's nothing personal. Never personal. Never personal with me, because if it was, I'd have left a long time ago. I'd have left in the Nation of Islam. Matter of fact, I did leave once in the Nation of Islam. And from the time I came in 1966 to present, I think I was out of the community for maybe 2 weeks or maybe a week and a half. And I wasn't planning on coming back until a brother asked me where I was. I told him, brother. And then he said, yeah, but John, you're trying to get out of this thing. I said, yeah, you're right, brother. So he asked me a question. I think he knew where I was coming from. He said, who did you come to follow? I said, I came to follow Abdullah Muhammad. He said, then follow him. And he put emphasis on his voice. And I got his message, follow the leader, right? Follow the leader. Simon says, do this. All right? Same kind of idea with the game. Simon said, follow the leader. So when Imam Wahdi Muhammad came into office, who did I follow? Some sheikh somewhere, some brother over here who knew how to recite al-Fatiha? No, I followed Imam Wahdi Muhammad. Nothing personal. I gave too much. I gave too much of myself. I took too much away from my family to put into this. Actually, one time my son had asked me, he said, Dad, you know, when I was young, you never came to my games and blah, blah, blah. So I had to take time to explain it. The brother, I mean, not brother, but son, we're trying to build a nation. We're trying to build a community. We're trying to build a better life for ourselves here in America. So there have to be sacrifices. Thank God that you have a strong mother that could cover my space. And he understood it. He's 50 years old now. He understands it. We understand the sacrifices that we made to establish ourselves in the religion of Al-Islam proper. Now we got other work that we have to do too. I'm getting older, I can't do everything. So our young people have to come up and start building the community, building stores that sell halal products, building communities, clean, decent communities, flowers in the front of our house, mowed lawns, etc., right? You got to establish businesses that employ people, not just Muslims, but anybody who's seeking a job, who's a decent human being. We have to make our input into America just like the Christians did, just like the Jews did, etc. Are we against Christians and Jews? Of course not. We are against the teaching, maybe some of the teaching, right? Because we believe in the purity of faith. We believe that Allah is God. He has no partners. He has no associates. He exists all by himself. Alhamdulillah. So we established the building where located right now 10 South 2nd Avenue. First place we had in Mount Vernon was 16 South 2nd Avenue. Now, then we went to 10 South 2nd Avenue on the top floor, on the, I think it's the third floor. Third floor, yeah, I know it's the third floor. It's a walk-up. But nonetheless, we did it. We established it. I resigned as Imam in 2008. As a matter of fact, Imam was trying to send us a message. He sent it, and he suggested that all the Imams at that time, that was before 2008, that we resign and let the people select who they desire as an Imam. And only a few of us did, but nonetheless, I resigned, and I thank Allah every day for my resignation. And then later, the people, they selected Brother Musa, young Brother Musa. Matter of fact, Brother Musa used to fill in for me sometimes when I went to the jail or someplace else to for some other kind of responsibility. Brother Musa would come in and take over the job. I always loved him and always respected him, and I think that they have a good representative to represent them in where they are now and as they move out further into the community, building up the community to establish Master Yusuf Shah. And Master Yusuf Shah is a name of a pillar, is a foundation within the name, if we probably understood. Stand. You know, Yusuf Shah wasn't an ordinary man. He didn't come to New York by himself. He came, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad sent him to keep an eye, to protect Malcolm, look out for the interests of Malcolm X, keep the community strong. Anything got out of order, Yusuf Shah, brother, he had no fear in addressing it. And that's why New York is as strong as it is, or strong as it was, I should say, during that period. And that's the same thing that we see happening right here in the Westchester County area. I don't live in Westchester anymore. I live upstate New York. But I always pray for the growth and development of that community of Master Yusuf Shah, and also for the leadership. And we have many of the old members, a few of the old members still there, but many new people coming in. But I say this to them, and I say this to Muslims and our association, the buck, so to speak, falls on us. American society is falling apart, and it's pulling us down quicker than any other people in the American society, African-American. Drugs, homosexual lifestyle, alcohol, separation from family. We have a bigger responsibility than just sitting around tabliquing each other. We have to go out after our people and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, to give them the right message that they can revive their lives and put themselves on Siratul Mustaqim, which is the straight path. And our dua that we make in Al-Fatiha, it says, show us the straight way, or show us the straight path. And that's the upright path for the human being, to live according to his origins that Allah originally created him in the first place. That's where we started at, where we are to return. So we thank you for your patience, and may God bless us. Allah bless us to continuously strive to be all that we can be in this life so we can reap the rewards of the afterlife. Say is Allah the one and only Allah, the eternal absolute. He begets not, nor is he begotten, and there is none like him.